What's up, believers? We are coming to you with a very special edition of the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV with a very, very special guest. The king himself, Rey Mysterio, is in studio, so stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Let's get it.
Oh,
hey. Yeah, you look very cool doing that. That looks natural
for
you.
That's like public enemy.
It's the only way. It's the only way to dance to Naughty by Nature. Guys, what's up? This right here is a very, very special edition of the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. We've got some very, very lovely and talented co-hosts, as always.
Hi, I'm Rachel. Rachel,
you got it.
At Rachel Sam Evans on Twitter and Instagram, or Rachel Sam Vans. Depends on how your brain works.
Nailed it. Next to her.
At Jimbo in the Booth. Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth.
And our very, very special guest. Guys, we've been doing this show for a very long time. We've had some incredible guests. We are so, so excited to have this man in studio. El Rey, the king himself, Mr. Rey Mysterio Jr., everybody.
Woo! What's up, guys? Thank you very much. You can find me at Rey Mysterio on Twitter, Rey Mysterio on Facebook, and Instagram at 619 I am Lucha.
There you go.
Yes, you are, my friend.
Compton, there you go. Rey, thank you so, so much for being here. We obviously are huge, huge fans of Lucha Underground, of you in general. So this is very, very momentous occasion for us and for the believers at home.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Why did it take so long for you guys to invite me?
You know, the invitation is open. The invitation, let it be known right now. Okay. Anyone involved with Lucha Underground, we've had Krista Joseph, and we've had Taya, and we've had Holly Maui, and Carly Perez. So many amazing guests, and we need to keep that going. So let it be known. Invitation's open.
Dario, what is up?
Get at us. Dario Fedo, get at us. So I wanted to start out just your involvement with Lucha Underground in general. When the show started, when it kind of premiered on El Rey, did you know about it? Did you, was it something that was kind of on your radar? How did your involvement with the show come about?
Well, I actually heard about this show through Conan. And Conan was kind of giving me an update on what the show was about and how it was going to kick off and whatnot. And one day I ended up giving him a ride from San Diego up here in L.A. He was filming one of the shows. And I sat back and I was watching it, amongst the fans. And I got a really kick, man, watching the talent perform live. I had no idea in my mind what... I mean, he explained it very well, but I had no idea the magnitude and the hype and how dope it was, until I was actually there. And I was like, man, this is really cool. I think I can fit in pretty well here.
Right.
And sure enough, man, it happened. It happened a couple months later.
Absolutely. And it's blown up in a way that I don't think anyone was really anticipating. What do you think it is that sets it so apart from everything else on the market?
It's a little bit of everything. It's a fresh product. The talent is completely... It's talent that you haven't seen before.
Right.
Talent that is coming from Mexico City, that is coming out of the independent scene here in the U.S. You have characters that are mythological. It's the storylines are not a typical storyline that you get off of... a normal wrestling TV show. The wrestling within itself is just incredible. The high flying, the fast paced, the hybrid style wrestling is just like no other show that you're gonna witness now on TV. This is the only one. It's here to stay for a very long time. And not to mention the cinematic feel that it has to it, man.
Right, right.
Off the charts.
And that side, the cinematic side of the show, both from a cinematography standpoint as well as just the elements that you don't see, the mythological
yes.
side of it, the supernatural elements. That's something that we talk
love.
About week after week.
Like how Carly can just appear and disappear. Right.
I feel like it really speaks to the new wrestling fan. I feel like there used to be a prototype for who was in the audience at a wrestling show, and now that's completely changed. And Lucha's really answering that, like, oh, we're all kind of nerds, and we want to talk about sci-fi, and we like mythology, and we need a story. We need people to care about. And that's Lucha's the first time that I've found that in wrestling, and I watch all of it.
And that is definitely a good thing, you know. I think wrestling needed a change. Mm-hmm. It needed something new, needed something fresh. And with all of those factors put together, it's like, wow. I mean, who could have ever thought about this type of show to happen in this era? You know, this is literally the evolution of the sport.
Do you see this type of cinematic wrestling, do you see this, like, spilling over into other promotions, or is it, like, captured lightning?
I don't see why not. Everybody usually steals from each other here and there, you know, whether it's bits and pieces. Sometimes you don't make it that obvious right away, but eventually you start figuring out, oh man, they got this from WWE, or they got this from Underground, or TNA, you know, whatever the case might be. But I think that's a good thing. You know, that means if they're stealing your product or your ideas, that's because it's doing well.
Right. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, for as larger than life as wrestling already is, you know, now we've got a show where we can talk about, you know, Dragon Man.
Yeah, and time travelers that have glow-in-the-dark nunchucks. Exactly.
And, like, death incarnate.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I'm into.
Right, exactly, death. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff, yeah, that really draws us to it, that we love talking about. But, you know, to say nothing of the immense talent on the roster itself, you know, you talked about guys that were on the independent scene that are in Mexico that, you know, people in America might not have gotten the chance to,
right,
to have their eyes open to. Is there anyone so far that you've kind of really enjoyed working with that you hadn't gotten a chance to before?
Actually, as a matter of fact, there is. I enjoyed very much working with Pentagon. We had a three-way match, and that was actually really good. And I'm looking forward to working with him on a singles match. You know, we did also a singles match, but more, do a program with him in the future. I truly believe that he's one of the up-and-coming heel or babyface, because he is so loved by the fans that he has a potential to become the next star in this business.
Mm-hmm. What I really loved about your match, your singles match with Pentagon Dark, was your tribute mask you wore to the ring. And it seems like your gear in Lucha has been off the charts. Everything from like the Batman inspired one and like the bold mask that you wear. Mm-hmm. My favorite had to be in the Aztec Warfare, but Ultima Lucha Dos, when you wrestled Prince Puma, and you had the El Rey Network logo with Mysterio.
So dope.
Did you come up with that, or like, have you been the one that's like, this is the gear I'm wearing?
Ever since I knew I was going to be part of this company, I thought the network fit perfect for my character. I'm like, man, this is my network. I mean, I can literally say that I made this. You know, I'm partnerships with Rodriguez. So what I did was I started to fantasize about what type of outfits I was going to use in Underground, and I liked the logo right away. It's just so different from any other wrestling company, you know. The image, what is known for Lucha Underground is that image of that mask, you know. And right away I started to put the Falcons or the cross, and the one thing that really stood out right away was the crown. I said, this is perfect. This is the El Rey logo, and the Mysterio just needs to go on the bottom, you know, and I stole it right away. So, yeah, it was something that I thought right off the bat.
I feel like you need to get an actual crown. Somebody needs to make you a literal El Rey crown that you can wear it.
That's that's not a bad idea.
Thank you. Somebody call. Excuse me, Robert.
Robert, someone get Robert on the phone.
Excuse me, one sec.
And we've seen on the topic of your year, we've seen so many different amazing outfits, you know, superhero inspired, comic book inspired. Are there any that you've yet to kind of translate into wrestling gear that you really want to do?
There's definitely a lot of them that I haven't done.
Sure.
I think the one that really stood out for me, because it was the first villain that I've ever done, was the Joker outfit.
Oh, definitely.
Cool.
And I would love to continue with a little bit of that heelish surprise, you know, to come out with representing in a way, just the comic book world and, the superhero world with, not so much the good guys, but now a tribute to the bad guys, you know, the villains.
Sure.
Because without, the villain, you know, there's no baby faces.
Out exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Faces only as good as the heelies across the ring from.
Exactly. And I think one of the, right off the back, I would have to say, even though he was like in between the Punisher.
Definitely.
So cool. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that would be super cool.
That and would be interesting to see how you would do your mask like that.
Yeah. Right.
I was thinking Deadpool.
That's
oh, interesting. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's awesome.
See, anti-heroes like that, yeah. Between,
yeah.
I love, I mean, even going back to, you know, going back to Halloween Havoc and the Phantom Gear.
Oh, so good.
Absolutely, yeah, incredible. So that's, seeing the kind of evolution of that concept has been really interesting. Now, coming up, obviously, January's right around the corner. You know, your history with the Royal Rumble, everyone kind of knows that really well.
It can't beat my record, man.
Right, exactly. Can't beat my record. But we just also saw, you know, Aztec Warfare, and those the comparisons between the two, between the Rumble and Aztec Warfare, have always kind of fascinated me. What's it like adapting to a situation like that, whether it's the Rumble or Aztec Warfare, that kind of that timing and that pacing?
You kind of you have to live the moment, man. There's no really perfect preparation or any strategy that you might use to go in there and try to be victorious. You kind of have to play by ear, you know, and go along with the flow and kind of feed off of what's happening at the time in the ring, you know. But I think both of them, you know, there we go again, talking about how ideas are taken from one company to another.
Sure.
You know, that's a perfect example. And not to say that Underground took it from them, but just the way they adopted it.
Right.
And gave it its own name, you know, Aztec Warfare.
And they made it their own.
And exactly.
Know,
yes, very, very much. But those type of matches are very entertaining because you not only get to see one or six opponents in the ring at the same time, you know, you get to see sometimes almost 80% of the roster. And
oh, sure.
All going at it, man.
And the thing about Aztec Warfare is that it's not limited to just in the ring either. You know, during Aztec Warfare, you
see it go all over the temple.
Or just dudes, which is big for me.
That's a very good point.
I like seeing my ladies in there.
Right, absolutely.
And for some reason, in Lucha Underground, the female presentation or representation, I should say, is very important, very strong. And I think that's actually a good thing, you know, something that you're not going to see in any other company.
Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that we can see a match like Mil Muertes versus Ivelisse and have it be presented as, you know, being on even ground and we can go along for the ride, you know, that's a testament to Lucha Underground's storytelling and their representation of the female roster.
Exactly. Taya and Brian Cage.
Right, exactly.
The crap out of each other.
So cool.
Speaking of Aztec Warfare, how did you keep it a secret, your debut?
Because
when they were like, and entering number two... from San Diego, California, everyone went nuts.
It was crazy, man. That hype was real. I don't think, actually, I very few times I felt that chill, you know, on my body and that excitement, that urge of I can't wait to be outside and make eye contact, because that's when my nervousness, my butterfly sensation goes away. Before that, I'm biting nails, even if I have the gloves, man. I'm going through the gloves. But I'm very, very nervous. I get very nervous before I go out to the ring. But once I make that eye contact, it goes away. So I was waiting for that to happen. But once they made that announcement, like, oh my God, I didn't think it was going to be that warm, you know, that big of a welcoming. And it was incredible. I don't know how I kept it a secret, but I managed. I managed.
Just lock yourself in a room for a few weeks.
Yeah, you know.
Speak to nobody.
Exactly. Well, and that's another thing is the believers and the fan base of Lucha Underground have really kind of cemented themselves as this entity that again, I don't think anyone was really expecting to be as big of a part of the show as it was. You know, it really True. Seems like they're involved and they're passionate like no other fan base seems to mm-hmm. be.
True. Somebody asked me this morning if it was original to compare ECW back in the day with Lucha Underground audience. Mm. And, you know, my response was like, in a way, yeah, it's very similar. We could say that this is, or the fan base is the new era of the ECW.
Mm. Right.
You know, very familiar, you know, the chants. They create their own chants. They create their own signs. You know, they chant who they want to chant.
Right.
You know, the only thing they don't do is give you items to hit your opponent with, which is not a bad idea.
Unless they're supposed to.
Unless right. it happens in Master Chief.
We've seen that happen, yeah.
But the fact that to have a live band playing up on the entrance, it's you know, so that's original right there, you know, right off the back. So they're opening up with the segment, you know, with the live band, and the band members are wearing masks, you know. It doesn't get any better than that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and we've seen a lot of good bands. We've seen, you know, Voodoo Glow Skulls and Conta Nuevola.
Wait,
another thing I really love is that his office is right there. So right. anytime the boss can just come out awesome. And change yes. stuff.
Right. Rachel, what were you gonna say?
What was that? I was just about the Monkey Band. What's the Monkey Band?
The Monkey. Oh, the Chimps.
Chimps. I love them so much.
We got so many good monkey puns from Matt Stryker.
Also, Stryker and Vamp. Oh my God, what a commentary team!
Right.
Yes.
Are they like that? Like in real life? Yeah.
I mean, that is real life.
No, but I mean, like, when they're not speaking into a microphone, like, you need, they're like that. Just
you need to speak to Matt Stryker one day, and
I mean, I would love to.
He is like that.
That's incredible.
He's such a good dude. My respects to him.
They both seem like amazing people.
Yeah, absolutely.
They both seem like my uncles.
Yes.
right. In very different ways.
Yeah.
And Vampiro has been a favorite of ours for years.
Well, he goes, me and him go way back, right. Mexico City. Yeah.
Sure.
What is it like to see him go, like, from being in Mexico City with him and wrestling with him to now seeing him on the commentary table calling your matches?
It's actually cool, man. This is our personal evolution. You know, each one of us had our own destinies already pavemented for us, you know. Who would have thought that I would have ended up being part of a brand new wrestling company that is
heavily influenced by you? Heavily influenced by you?
In a way, yes, in a way. Psychosis and Juventud, you know, we started this back in the early 90s, you know. Now to be part of something that we originally started, you know, thanks to Conan, because he was the one that introduced us to the Paul Heymans, to the Eric Bischoffs. You know, the only thing he didn't do was bring me into WWE. But besides that, you know, I owe most of my career, or actually 99% of my career, to Conan, man. Without having that right foot in that door, you know, who knows where I would be right now.
How are you still working? That seems rude. What I meant was, so many people keep getting injured, and we see more and more there's been like a smackdown. That's, I also didn't mean to say smackdown, but I don't know what else to say, on people who, like, you see them having too many concussions, and they're like a Daniel Bryan situation,
right?
And you've been working forever. Like, are you just very careful with yourself?
I've had my own.
I mean, I know you've been injured, but you every time you're in the ring, it's not like, okay, we're going to give you allowances because you're a vet. No, like, you are there with the rest of them.
It starts to grow in you. You start to mature. You start to realize that sometimes you can't just go out there and not think about your life, you know, because for a very long time, that's what I would do. I would go in the ring and not care what would happen, you know. But then I wouldn't think of my other half, my wife, my kids.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see me come back home. And as you mature and as you get older, you start to in a way, lower your pace down. And you're more careful with what you do inside and outside the ring. And that just comes within time, you know. It's like telling a kid, you know, don't do that. And he keeps doing it until eventually he gets older. He does it again, and he understands on his own that, man, I shouldn't have done that. I should have listened to my pops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's pretty much my way of learning this business. And I'll tell you, a lot of veterans from back, I go back to AAA, WCW,
mm-hmm.
and not so much in WWE, but within those two companies, Ray, slow down, man. You don't have to go that fast. You don't have to do so many moves. And with all due respect, I would always say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support mm-hmm. and looking out, you know. But, you know, it came in one ear and it went out the other.
But going I wanna.
Yeah, I want it. Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's just part of being hungry and you know, loving what you do. Now I finally learned how to separate my time, and I really want to come home.
Sure. Yeah. Right. You know. But you're always, yeah, wrestlers, I feel like, are always adapting, always evolving, just like wrestling is always adapting and evolving.
True.
And you mentioned that era of cruiserweights, you know, with Juventud and Psicosis, things like that. It seems like we're seeing kind of a resurgence of cruiserweights, and I think a lot of that is owed to Lucha Underground. What do you think the cruiserweights of today, how do you think the styles kind of compare to the cruiserweights of, you know, maybe the 90s? What are some of the differences you see there?
Well, definitely the moves they're pulling off now are just too insane, man. Mm. Too insane to even try to catch up.
Right.
I mean, you know, just not to mention any of the wrestlers from WWE, but one of the cruiserweights that we have that to me is on top of the list, probably number one in the world, is Prince Puma.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you know, that kid is phenomenal. Mm. I mean, there's the stuff that he does, I would have never imagined it. You know, and it's weird because he says the same thing about me. You know, the stuff you were doing back in the day is like, bro, it was like nobody was doing it. So I see that, and this is the evolution. This is what wrestling has become. You know, maybe thanks to myself and the Psicosis and the Hoovies and everybody else that put the name of the cruiserweight division, you know, on top. But everything now is three flips, two backflips.
Right.
You know, and like, wow. I mean, it's just insane.
See, as crazy as those three flips and two backflips go, when you take your slide out of the ring and fall belly first on the floor, that to me is so horrendous. I'm
we
like,
call that
how
terrestrial.
Does
I'm ground game now. No more aerial, just ground game. That's how I have to become or make my own evolution of my own moves, you know. Try not to jump as much because of the 8 surgeries that I've had on my knee.
Oh my God.
But it's you try to mix up some of your old moves and turn them into something different, and you're always constantly visualizing moves. I mean, that's how it's been for me ever since I can remember. You know, I would always sit in the bleachers and look at the ring and tell myself, can I jump off the second, then to the third, and then turn around and give him a leg? Yeah, I think that can be done. Okay, let's try it. During the match, it happened. Oh, yeah, got a new move.
Did you ever awesome. Break out the action figures to practice?
Never done that. Never done
More
that.
Action
no.
figures.
I know, right?
We usually have a ring.
Now, we've talked about, you know, the guys on the show that people are kind of being exposed to for the first time. One of the guys that first comes to mind when I think of that is Matanza. Someone like Matanza with, you know, a combination of that kind of agility and that kind of power is absolutely unheard of. How do you adapt your style to working with someone like that? And what are your thoughts just kind of on him in general?
I feel like I can adapt very well.
Sure.
And that's just because I had so many great teachers along my career that helped me succeed to the top. You know, the Eddies, believe it or not, the big shows,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to work with Brock Lesnar, being able to be in the ring with Undertaker, you know, all of that helped me. And it helped me just be able to perform at my level with any guy at any size. You know, I think the only guy I had a hard time working with was Kali.
Oh, sure.
Kali. Yeah, but besides that, you know, I feel like I can adapt very well, and I think I'm truly blessed for that because I have the capability to be able to do that. And not many guys can, you know, unfortunately. But you talk about Matanza. God, is he a strong dude, man.
Right.
Wow.
And he and when he flies, it's like he's 50 pounds. Mm. Like he's
true. True.
He when he like does that standing moonsault, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And that's the stuff that we've seen. Imagine the stuff we haven't seen yet.
I can't.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I know he has a repertoire of moves, man, in that closet that he's waiting to bust out.
Well, that's always how we what we would say about Willie Mack. You know, Willie Mack,
another guy.
Exactly.
Hands down, man. Willie Mack is awesome.
He's my everything.
Right. I would love to see you and him in a single feud.
Oh, you know what? That would be dope. I would love to.
But I would also hate that because I would be like, no, both of you should win.
We can both win.
Okay, good. Right. Cool.
Yeah, now, Willie Mack is a dude that can go, man. And it's funny because you look at him and you wouldn't think that just off of simply trying to envision him. If you've never seen him wrestle,
right?
Really, you can go, bro. He can go.
He can go. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. More than you can imagine. I remember the first time I saw him bust out the spiral tap. Yeah. It was absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he's another one of those guys where it's like as much as we've seen, there's probably so much more that we haven't.
Exactly.
Now,
you and Willie Mack and Puma are the three people who make me throw things at my TV whenever I'm watching. I'm like, stop it. I don't want you to stop. You're going to hurt yourself.
There's a kid that has a lot of potential, and I get to see him every time that we have our tapings. I see him rehearsing moves in the other ring that we have backstage, and then I'll go out and watch him when he has to wrestle. Aerostar.
Ooh.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, I don't know, another guy who is not even at his peak yet, you know. He's climbing the ladder, but eventually when he does, he's another kid that's going to be really, really good.
And that was another thing that I kind of wanted to ask you about. I wanted to ask you about guys that you see that maybe aren't quite there yet but are kind of up and coming that you think, like, that guy could definitely be, you know, magic.
Fenix.
Yeah, definitely.
Without a doubt, Fenix, he's another kid. He reminds me a lot of myself when I was younger and up and coming in AAA. You know, he's very, very emotional. He loves what he does. He's always creating new gear. He's always coming up with new moves. You know, I think Aerostar, I was very surprised to realize how old Drago was and the way he moves, because he moves like he was 30 years old.
Mm. How old is he?
I believe
he's like thousands of years old. He's a dragon.
Okay.
He's a dragon.
You know this.
Rachel, he's a dragon.
He's millennia old.
But he's awesome, you know. And you know, I like to compare sometimes the injuries that I've had with the amount of time that other people have been, you know, in the business. If we had around the same time, like, man, why am I more hurt than you are? But eventually that just comes with wear and tear and what you do in the ring and you know, how long you've been going at it. But we were mentioning names. I Killshot.
Definitely, yeah.
Killshot's.
We talk about him a lot, for sure, yeah.
Very, very hungry, and you can see that in the ring, man. Every time he steps in there, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of up-and-comers that you had an altercation with in the ring, your and Famous B's interaction
at
Aztec Warfare was so funny. Who came up with that?
It was a combination of the team. I forgot who put that together. I believe it might have been Chavo and Vamp and DJ, and then B himself and myself. And when he said, "Yeah, I'll come over and offer the card," and then we kind of just put ideas together and like, oh, this is it, man. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And we left it like that.
So funny.
It
was so great.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, the wear and tear, you know, that wrestling takes on you. What's it been like? It's got to be at least a little bit easier, a little bit of a reprieve getting used to this schedule, you know, the Lucha Underground style of not necessarily touring all year round, but, you know, getting 40 episodes in the can and then getting a break.
I can do this for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I would be golden, man. The fact that I don't have to jump on an airplane, that I could just drive up on the weekends and, like you said, film 40 episodes, and maybe between those 40 episodes come in during the week to do some vignettes and shoot for the storylines. But this is actually not a bad idea for any other companies that are out there, man.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a wrestling company that is based on series. You know, it just means give your talent some break because they need to heal sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's what pretty much pushes us away from the business.
Right.
We're on the grind, you know, pretty much all year round. You know, and the only time we get off is when you get injured, and that's not fun. So
exactly,
yeah, that's not fun at all.
And I think from a creative standpoint as well, it gives the stories a chance to kind of breathe and to reset if they need to. You know, we've seen it in shows like Lucha Underground, but also places like Chikara. You know, works on seasons. It's an interesting model to work with.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, no, please.
I was going to say something that's very interesting is even though Lucha Underground has been taped, it seems like they're right on par with what's going on in popular culture, because there's so many times we're like, oh, look who's the number one contender, oh, look, a woman's match is the headlining the show. And it's like, and this has all been taped.
Oh, well, so. And it's coincidences happen like that. I mean, even the Battle of the Bulls, like this was taped so long ago, but we see the Battle of the Bulls happening in NXT right now, basically.
We're not talking about the type of coincidence like the Simpsons and Trump, right?
not quite. No. Okay. Not like those.
God, no.
A little bit more... Yeah. Magical.
But you know, it is good, man. It is good for the fans to not see your favorite wrestler or superstar, you know, all year round. You know, it's good to lay him off TV. You know, that way he comes back hungry. The fans want to see him. They're anticipating for his comeback. You know, and it happens, and you have a new storyline, a new feud. You know, that's something that I think needs to evolve along with. The whole sport, like it's evolving already.
Right.
You know, the days off.
Exactly.
It gives us a chance to miss them, too. Right. Like, especially with something as serialized as Lucha Underground, like, I am, when it's the off season, I'm wondering what is going to happen. We're waiting for the trailer.
Right.
And then we did an hour long
show just on the trailer.
Just about that 20-minute trailer.
Wow.
And awesome. We filled it. We were like, oh, oops.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're like, are we going to have enough to talk about? And then we're like, oh, we're wrapped? Oh.
How do you feel about Paul London?
I was just thinking that.
Because he's so exciting to me. And like this new, stop, you see me dancing a little bit. I'm like, he's just like really cute. No. No, he's like that whole.
He's for sale.
Oh, cool. I got money. I'm okay. I think what we talked about this previously, but it's bringing a new type of wrestler, a new type of storyline to Lucha Underground, to the world of wrestling that I have never seen before. And I'm so excited about this like cult mentality. But you were such a lone wolf, not a darewolf, a lone wolf. Just in that, like, you're so vetted and you're the guy, you know, you're Mr. Lucha. So do you see yourself because breaking off into any sort of factions, tag teams?
You know what? It's not a bad idea again.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
you.
We saw the Filthy Animals.
Hire me.
Yeah. Yes. The Filthy Animals, man, that had a lot of success.
You absolutely. Know,
that was just something that was created out of scratch because they really had nothing for us. So what we did is, man, why don't the homies that normally hang out together in the ring too?
Right.
So, so it happened. But it would not be a bad idea. I've never really been part of a group, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a tag team partner, and that has worked out very well for me at the beginning, with the exception of the finale. except for one. No, did Edge turn on me too? I don't think he did. I think he was probably the only, or I think he did. So many turns.
He's known for that.
Yeah. so many partners that I've had throughout the past. I would not mind, you know, Azteca.
Oh.
I've been mentoring him since he's been a part of Lucha Underground. So
that makes sense.
Maybe it could be Azteca. Maybe we can talk to Matanza and change his mind and make him join our side.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that would be so fun. Don't get me excited about this.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned, you know, people giving you advice and it just kind of, you know, going in one ear. The very last scene of the last episode,
yeah,
we kind of saw that with you and Jack and Stuck.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we did. He came to visit me at my sanctuary, right?
Right, yeah. right.
I was relaxing after the beating I took, and yeah, he felt like he was ready to do his own thing. He said, pretty much, Mm-mm. Yeah, right. Like, exactly. I'm done, man.
Now you mentioned the vignettes. Obviously, that's one of them. But the vignettes are
so good.
One of the our best favorite in the parts entire world of the show. Do you have any that are particular favorites that either you've been in or you haven't been in?
No, there's actually several that I've been in that haven't aired but will air. Oh. And so
like what?
I can't say anything. But this is a part of this company that I'm enjoying very much, you know, that I didn't have I didn't do much of that in WWE or in WCW, you know, to be able to work behind the camera, you know, backstage, cutting vignettes, building up feuds. And I got to do a little bit of that with Eddie and Dominic, you know, back in the day. But after that, it kind of just dissipated. It was like once every year, twice every year. But here, you know, every season after being part of the second season, you know, I got a piece there. Now going into the third season, halfway through, and there's something big coming up too for the third season. And hopefully we can keep that going into the fourth, fifth, and sixth, you know. Mm. But I've enjoyed very much working with Skip and listening to him, man, because he's such a genius. He knows how to make you look good. And I love that, man. I love to pick his ear, man, to pick his mouth and listen to what he has to say, positioning, you know, how to do this. You know, and that's something that I think we're all going to learn from that experience, because it's not so much sometimes about just doing your work in the ring. You gotta create your personality and your character over, you know, that's what makes you money.
Exactly. Yeah. And we talked about comparisons with ECW, and I think one of the most prominent comparisons is that guys like Skip and Krista Joseph and you know, Mark can bring out the positives and can accentuate the positives. Yes. You know, and really bring those to the forefront.
And I like the fact that they do it bilingual too. You know, it makes right. a little bit of Spanish and English, and that captures a whole different audience as well.
Oh, sure. I mean, Pentagon's promos are some of the best going right now, and yeah. they're Spanish. Not even English.
I can't even understand them.
Right.
And it seems like they've used every part of the temple, like as many different setups of the temple, even like your Batman style where you're up in the sign and it's got the mysterious.
Oh, that was
so good.
Well, I think that's really important. This is going to be a tangent. I think that's really important because of the history of Boyle Heights. I mean, the history of Boyle Heights is so rich and beautiful that, like, you know that Richard Ramirez, the serial killer, was brought down because Boyle Heights as a community came together and chased him down. And the police got there only to pull them off of Richard Ramirez.
Really?
To be like, yeah. They caught Boyle Heights as a community, caught that serial
killer.
Caught
the Night Stalker.
Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
For real. Like, there's, you can watch footage. It's amazing. So there's like such a rich, beautiful history of like
new character.
I'm telling you.
I think his name is Jeremiah Crane.
Oh, I'm what so do you into think of that.
Him? What can I say? I mean, the whole we have a team that is very knowledgeable about the sport that has been whether in a different company that has succeeded. So I think it's very good when you put so many minds that just think of one objective, and that's to succeed. You put them all together, hands down. You got a lot of wrestlers that you never thought would become agents, you know, and Paul London is another one,
right.
You know, him being able to help out the young talent. And, I mean, he had his run in WWE. I was able to work with him there. Chavo Guerrero as well. And it's just a good crew of people that are very solid. And it's good to work with people like that.
How did you feel? Oh,
no, no.
How did you feel about sending Chavo packing?
Rude.
Hey, bro. Is he really gone? Is he really going to leave?
That's a good point. Oh. Stick around. You never know in wrestling.
Man, those Guerreros.
Guys!
Now, obviously, there are so many good, you know, wrestling talents and big names that we know of. But one of our favorites is someone that previously hadn't even come from wrestling, of course. Your favorite.
Go ahead.
El Jefe. Dario Cueto.
El Jefe.
I'm obsessed with him. Like, in a very weird way.
You, I don't know if you... Are you much of a Netflix person?
I'm a Netflixer. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the series called Club de Cuervos?
No, is he on it?
I just
finished watching it, and he is awesome.
I just saw him in a commercial, and I was like, I love you.
I hate him, but he is awesome there. Like him on Lucha Underground, but in Club de Cuervos, he's awesome.
I got all the love for him.
So, yeah, he's kind of, week after week, he's one of the most consistently entertaining parts of the show. I wanted to ask what it was like working with him, and specifically working with someone that didn't necessarily have a background in wrestling before Lucha Underground.
That's one person that I have learned so much the more I get to work with him, because he comes from an acting background. Mm. And the way he carries himself, you can feel like he's been around the business for very long, you know. And whatever he doesn't know or doesn't understand, you know, it's as easy as asking. So the advice is always there, and vice versa. You know, he's a person that if you need a tip from him, or if you really want to learn something from his point of view, from the acting world, he's very free to give you the answer, man, and to guide you. That's actually something that Conan told me right off the bat. He goes, when you meet Dario, you're going to like him. He's really cool, and his work on the mic is incredible. Mm. Like, wow. And sure enough, when I saw him and I got to work, when I did my first promo with him, I was like, wow, this is cool. And we fed off of each other, but he's in a way, he's the star of the show.
Right.
You know, without doing any action. You know, his action is verbally.
It's Dario's world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spooky.
He's so cool. Well, he encapsulates everything beyond the, like, outside of the ring. He's everything I love about Lucha Underground. It's like poking fun of itself, saying it's like the trope of the big boss man character, but yes, to an extreme degree. And that's also what I love about some of the vignettes, is that when they tie in like the branded content, like the bagel bites, mm-hmm, like they know, they're like, I know this is dumb, and so I'm letting you in on my secret. And that's how I feel every time I watch Dario. I'm like, oh, you know exactly what you're doing, you know exactly who you're making fun of, and I'm so into it. And anybody Ooh. Who openly just does cocaine every yeah. single week on television, yeah, I'm like, like, you get it.
It's so
that,
on
that
brand.
Threw me off the first time.
You party monster.
I was like, whoa, what?
He is a party monster.
He's a party monster. He really is. And last weekend I rewatched From Dusk Till Dawn, and I was like, we're so lucky to have this. Oh, God.
I love that about Lucha Underground, because it feels like it's in that world. Like, it's,
right. It could be, because the end of Dusk Till Dawn, they show the Aztec Temple is what the Titty Twister is connected
Stop
to.
Stop yourself.
That you are on line. What Such if, a good point.
It's good to have an imagination, right?
Exactly.
It's all I have. I have no facts.
It is. It's got that Rodriguez brand on it for sure.
It's like, it's obnoxious because I do this show every week and I can't keep saying it, but it's the coolest show on television. It's just the coolest
show. LRA Network. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Watch it. Some sort of ties, man. Down the road.
Sure. So, yeah, and speaking of down the road, what are some of your plans for 2017?
I'm hoping to expand with Lucha Underground, you know, make it bigger than what it's already becoming. You know, I really hope to be that pioneer to take it to the next level. You know, whatever it is that we have to do, I'm sure that's going to happen. You know, whether we have to start touring next year, or we need to come out with more characters, like the Night Stalker.
I got you. Yeah. You just email me. I have like 57 just right here.
I truly believe that 2017 is going to be a good year for Lucha Underground. Wow. And for all the talent and crew.
It seems that way.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be so good. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
Okay, before, because you're about to wrap us up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you still collect swords?
Yes, I do.
You do? Well, I brought this for you as a Christmas present. Oh. I don't know if you have a cane sword in your collection.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Like, James, yeah. That's so nice
this
of you. Bad.
Thank you so much.
You got to open it now.
I want to see it. Cut my hair.
Just pull.
There we go.
If he hurts himself on this show, I swear to That looks like it has some blood on it.
That's no, phenomenal.
That's bad.
Bad.
Wow.
What a moment. Look at that, guys.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at the design
Every
on the sword.
Every sword collector needs at least a cane sword.
I've never had one. This
well,
is
now
my
you
first.
Do. Bam.
Wow.
That is dope.
We give out, we're giving out swords here, guys.
I'm going to take this to a street fight.
What would a Lucha Underground after show be without gifting weaponry?
I hope you see that
weaponry
in season four
That's
as a prop.
Bad. Wow.
That's incredible.
I actually might. And if I do, you'll know what it is right away.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'll just hold on to it like this.
Do you, That's incredible. Don't mess with me. The swords that you collect, do you use them?
No, they're just...
I don't know. You could be a vigilante. I'm down with that.
You could be going after the Night Stalker.
I saw somebody machete a tire one time, a car tire. They just walked up to a car tire and just macheted it.
What?
That was
you.
Was
it machete?
No, that was Danny Trejo.
Machete.
That wasn't me.
I should have known. He was leaving my bedroom. I'm awesome. Kidding.
Thank you so man. Much. This is awesome. Machete. I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I love
well,
it.
That's dope.
On yeah. that note, on a moment of gifting weaponry, what a way to take out the show.
Let's Jim go home.
Coming in the clutch. Well, Ray, thank you so, so much for joining us. This
thank
was
you.
Absolutely incredible. We'll be here for the entire rest of this season, talking about Lucha Underground every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific, except for this Thursday, which will be 8 p.m. Pacific. But we'll be right back the next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, talking Lucha Underground. But Ray, for now, where can they find you?
619, I am Lucha on Instagram, at Ray Mysterio on Twitter, and at Ray Mysterio on Facebook. And in case I don't see you guys, have a Merry, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
And a Happy New Year.
Definitely. Merry Christmas, Ray Mysterio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks again.
God bless us, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah.
Jimbo, where can they find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at Jimbo in the Booth. Check out the X-Pac 12360 podcast. Check out Lillian Garcia's podcast with Ray Mysterio. On AfterBuzz TV,
it's also airing right
yes,
now.
Yes.
So if you're watching this live,
yes, you got to check it out.
Competing both. With yourself.
So we had a fan on Twitter mention that you were pulling a Rick Rude appearing on both shows at the exact same time. Rachel, where can they find you?
At Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Vans, depends on how your brain works, on Instagram and Twitter, and then also go to the YouTube channel, Snarled. I just came out with a video today about people killing people, and we all know how much Ray likes that.
It's on brand.
With his new sword. It's all about Ray.
Guys, I'm Ty Matthews. You can find me online on all forms of social media, at Ty Matthews PMA, as well as various other after shows, including right here, Lucha Underground After Show on Thursdays, as well as the Monday Night Raw After Show on Mondays. Be sure to check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood every Saturday, 4 p.m. KDOC, YouTube America, Tough TV, Fight TV, Patreon, all that good stuff. Come check us out in the new year. We'll be right back second, fourth Sunday of every month. But until next time, guys, Viva la Lucha! Lucha.
Where can
From
I find X-Pac?
Executive X-Pac producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.